This is a great song to wake up to.
I love this song.
It's great.
1967, Thomas Jefferson High School, just about 50 years ago that song came out. This is Bo Mitchell. I'm your host of You Get the Blessing. My co-host is the smartest man in the world, Dr. Bob Belts. Bob, welcome to the program.
Hey, it's great to be with you, and I obviously don't believe a word of that. So
I do.
But it is really neat to have a friend that thinks that.
I believe it, because Bob has actually written 14 books. I have read now 11 books. So
you have your own book coming out, though. That's going to be pretty exciting, getting close. So.
A while off, but it'll, yeah, thank you. My wife's done a great job on that. And You Get the Blessing exists to introduce you, our listening audience, each week to guests that we think are having an impact in this community for the cause of Christ. So welcome aboard, all you listeners. And today's guest is Dale Hansen. Dale, glad you're here.
Thanks. Good to be here.
So we start each week by asking our guests to give us a little background, like where you were born and what was it like around your place growing up as a kid. So fire away, my friend.
Wait, one thing before he starts. Tell him what he does.
Dale, excuse me, is coordinating Harvest Bible Church in Broomfield, Colorado these days. He's also a businessman, real estate-related stuff, I believe, correct?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Which part of real estate?
Property management, then owns some stuff as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. A lot of real estate stuff. So he's got the business mind, the heart for Christ, and our friend Pastor Jeff Schwartzentraub at Harvest Bible said, Dale, we want you to do this up in Broomfield, and Dale has agreed to do it. So we'll ask him for details on that later.
Mm-hmm.
Jump in on your background.
I might want to know who the heck this guy is.
That's good. Context. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was born in South Africa, and so born there, lived there till I was about 8, and for political reasons, my parents said, we got to get out of here. We weren't missionaries, weren't even believers over there, and 77, we headed over, and so moved to Peoria, Illinois, and landed there, and because all good South Africans went to church, my parents just said, hey, let's just pick a church. So Lord led us to Grace Presbyterian Church. Turned out that it was a Bible-preaching, Christ-following church, and I was 8 years old. I remember where I was in the hallway, made a decision, I think I'll go with the heaven route instead of the hell route, and so that's really all it was back then.
Well, at 8, that's about all you can figure out.
Yeah, you know.
It's a pretty good choice.
Sometimes you can figure out the Jesus part.
It was.
Helps. Yeah.
Well, it took me when I got to college that I decided, you know, let's make sure this thing is really for me or if it's just my parents' deal. And so I went to a private Christian school, and there was a good place to dig in. And I said, all right, Lord, if you're real, show me you're real. I've got the faith part. I can do that. But you got to show me the truth part that I can figure out. And so that's what I did. Decided at that point, boy, life is about an adventure, and I wanted to live it, and came west, went to grad school, got out west, and said, boy, Lord, if I got to work at 7-Eleven, I'm staying here. Love the mountains, and so stayed. So there's more to that story, but we'll get to it a little bit, but that's basically my background.
So out west was where?
Utah. Utah.
Okay.
So yeah, it was the only school that actually accepted me into grad school, and so I said, I'll take it.
So did you then move back to Chicago? Is that how you got
it? So I was there for 15 years, met my wife, worked as a therapist in a hospital, started my own business, went really well. Like you said, it was in real estate, so everybody did well in the beginning. And then 07 hit and didn't go so well. And so a lot of my properties are back in Illinois, and so couldn't really turn things around in Utah. And so I moved back to Peoria, Illinois. And my brother, who went to high school with Pastor Jeff Schwartzentraub that you mentioned, said, hey, you need to look up this guy. In high school, I'm not sure what he was doing, but now all of a sudden I hear he's a preacher and he's actually pretty good. And
so he is.
He is. And so we hooked up. Actually, it was a really funny story. My wife met his wife. And so I don't know if you guys have ever been on a man date before, but our two wives got together and said, I really like this woman and you need to like her husband. And so we're going to go out to dinner and you were going to be friends. And so we decided, all right, let's go to sushi. And Jeff said, I've never eaten sushi. I don't like this guy already. But so we went to dinner, and afterwards, he and I had the same story. We're in the car, and the wife said, hey, you like this guy? You like this guy? Is he cool? And I said, yeah, I mean, he's fine. And so the rest is kind of history.
Wow. Now you're best friends and ministry partners.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to tell you, I actually got married in Peoria, Illinois.
You're kidding.
And my wife was going to Bradley University, and her dad was a professor there. And so we decided to get married in Peoria. And I don't remember the name of the church because we didn't have a place to get married. And we were driving down the street, and there was this real old church with great stained glass windows with a huge for sale sign on it, and it had been abandoned, and we found out who owned
it. Was it near downtown?
You know, I can't even remember, but anyway.
Found out who owned it and said, this is where we want to get married?
Yeah, we rented it and got married in this really cool old
church. He knew
he'd
get a good deal.
Yeah. He knew he'd get a discounted price. And
yeah.
His marriage has lasted now 42 years.
Wow.
Got a great wife.
45
now.
For him.
So. Impressive.
Yeah. Anyway, a lot of wisdom. But Peoria. So that's my. We got engaged in Bradley Park.
Yep.
Got a great picture of my wife sitting on a park bench right mm-hmm. where we got engaged. But
you made it very romantic and asked her to marry you.
Yeah.
That a way. I can't. Oh, I know where I did mine. Anyway, this is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell, your host. Bob Belts, my co-host, and our guest is Dale Hansen. Just told us about some of his. Background and how many years married now?
16. We got married in Africa, and so it's been a fun, wild ride. I promised my wife she'd never be bored. I didn't say it would be easy and peachy and smooth, but I said you would never be bored, and she keeps reminding me that I was right. So the good times and the bad times.
I think I met you the first time, didn't I? Come over to the school where y'all were meeting, and I was supposed to
do something.
Know, listen to Pastor Jeff, see if he was
any good.
You really did have a church.
Yeah.
And you did, and it's going well. So how did you wind up now? Jeff said, come on out here and let's do this together.
So we were in a small group with Jeff and his wife and two other couples, and I was in a men's group with Jeff, and I learned more in 2 years with Jeff in a men's group than I had really growing up in the church. And so we were in a small group with them, and one night Jeff makes this big announcement, and he said, we are feeling called by the Lord to go to Denver, Colorado and plant a church. My first thought was, okay, you've been talking about, I don't want to have anything to do with the church. You know, as an itinerant pastor and those type of things. And all of us have our church baggage. And I said, what the heck? You said you weren't even going to be a part of a church. Now you're going to go lead one. And so he told me, well, let me tell you about Harvest Bible Chapel. So talk through that very simple church, not a ton of programs, but just bringing God's word. And so my wife that night said, we're going, we're going to do it. And I said, honey, are you crazy? I said, we just worked our way out of some issues financially with the business, and we can't just pop up and just go to Colorado. I said, besides, it's Colorado. There's mountains. I don't want to go mountain biking and skiing. It would not be a spiritual decision. But I said, hey, I'll pray about it.
That's right, because Peoria is such a lovely garden spot in the world.
Yeah. Yep.
Well.
So 4 months later, I kept praying about it, and the Lord started to make it very clear right through scriptures like in Isaiah where Isaiah says, the Lord says, who are we going to send? And he says, me, I'll do it. And so those scriptures like that. And so came out, spent some time out here, and it was a Mercy Me song, All of Creation, that came on the radio. And literally, I had to pull over. I was so just emotional, and the Lord said, go. So we sold a business, wound down another one, and just threw everything in a truck and trailer and drove. And got here 5.5 years ago now, I guess. And,
started with how many people in your church?
Two. So Jeff knew one guy that he went to school with. He wasn't a believer, and his wife was a new believer, and that was it. And he said, hey, do you know anybody who'd want to be a part of a church? And he said, well, we went down to a mission trip to Hurricane Katrina. I met some people that kind of go to church there, so I'll invite them over to my house. And so that's how it started.
That's about when I met Jeff, was shortly after that.
Mm-hmm.
We, our little ministry owned a building, and Bob and Highline Community Church were part of it. And yeah, I thought,
Yeah, we've got a funny,
sounds strange
we've got
to
a
me.
Funny story, just Dale and I, because we tried to buy the building that Harvest is now in, and I was just telling someone, not buying that was one of the best things that ever happened to us. I mean, we were not able to, and then Harvest stepped in, and now we, you know, where we are over at Orchard and I-25 and our little building there is just great.
Does Highline, though, view that being an interim step that had to take place to get to where you are?
Yeah, because 'cause when it didn't work, we wanted to go buy our old building back, and it had already sold. So we went for 6 months thinking we were going to be on the street, and then again,
much better where you guys are. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's great.
So early days of church planning, your role was what specifically?
Well, if you're part of planning a church, you don't have a title because you have to do everything. And so what I ended up doing a lot of was we had a trailer. We had church in a box with four wheels. And we parked it next to the Broncos training facility. And every morning, well, not every morning, Sunday mornings, 5:30, I had to go out there and grab that trailer and hook it up and drive it to the church, rain or snow, and pull everything out and set up church. And some mornings there was a big race at the reservoir and you had no place to park. And it was, we had some crazy stories, but then had a bunch of men and women that stepped in and said, we'll be a part of this crazy thing. And we would set things up, tear it down. And yeah, we were in an office that was really the only stable thing we had, but the Lord has been faithful. We are so fond of saying that the Lord uses knuckleheads to build his church. And anybody that knows us knows it's so, so true.
Bob and I got to live that in 1981. We were on a retreat with our wives in Vail, and Bob, we were leading some men's Bible studies, and Bob looked at me and said, I think we should invite the women. I think we should invite their children. If we're going to have the whole family, we ought to meet on a Sunday and call it a church. And I was like, kind of like you.
Really?
You sure? And within...
Well, actually, what he said exactly is, I don't like church. And I said... That's why we should start
one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So March 7th, 1982, we started Cherry Hills Community Church along with Jim Dixon. So
wow.
Bob and Allison Belts, Jim and Barb, and my wife Gary and I. But Bob was humble enough. I said, so you're going to be the pastor, I assume? And he's like, no, I'm more of a teacher, but I know who should be the pastor. But similar beginning, because mm-hmm. we opened the doors to the little building. We bought an orchard in Broadway, and... I don't remember. I guess we assumed our guys from Bible study might come, but I don't remember a big marketing campaign.
No, we didn't know if anybody'd show up, actually. Yeah, I can. And actually, just talking about knuckleheads, so the first Sunday morning, we were in our little office, Jim and I, and we're looking at each other, and we said, okay, we need to act like we know what we're doing.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah. So you guys were a little bit like that, because I know when you walked in, everybody on my staff liked Pastor Jeff and all you guys, and you showed back up a few years later with a lot more people. Church is now pretty good sized church, and you're actually doing a satellite church, or what do you call it?
Yeah, it's a campus. It's one church, multiple campuses. And so Harvest Bible Chapel started in Chicago, you know, James McDonald, and they've always been about planting churches. And so we knew it was part of our DNA. We were church number 60, I guess, somewhere in there. And they're at about 150 now internationally. And so we knew that was part of our DNA. But the way we do it as elders is we don't have a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, a 15-year plan. We just spend a lot of time literally on our knees, on our faces, praying and saying, all right, Lord, show us what you do. Because Jesus builds his church. We don't do it. And so we knew at some point we would start another church. We didn't know if it would be a campus somewhere where we would do a video screen with Jeff teaching, or if we would find a pastor and he would actually preach and we would support. We didn't know what it would look like. We were just waiting for the Holy Spirit to make it clear. Because like I said, going back to our knucklehead analogy, it's got to be a no-brainer in the sense that the Holy Spirit has to be clear. And so we were, about 4.5 years in, and we had a guy come up to us and said, hey, I've got this building. It's right off of 36 on the way to Boulder, about 12,000 square feet. If I give you some square footage for 3 years rent-free, will you start a church up there? And so again, that was a relatively short time of prayer, but you know, we just sensed the Holy Spirit just being in that. Again, those are Jesus' fingerprints all over this. And so we went up there, took a look at the building, and like your story of your building, walked in. I mean, it was an old warehouse, had walls everywhere. It was terrible. I mean, it was in a bad, bad place, but there was enough vision there that we could see, I think this could work. And so we kept putting left foot in front of right, kept praying about it. And we are less than 2 weeks away from Easter launching. And so another thing, Easter this year is really early. And so it cut down a lot of our, quote, planning and long-term type of things that we wanted to do. And we just sensed the Holy Spirit say, let's do it on Easter. And so we've been pushing. We have probably a day or two margin of window for the trades to get things done and finished. And yesterday they were about, 8 to 10 guys putting up sound panels and carpets going. It looks like extreme home makeover in there with everybody in there getting things done. And now our big prayer is that the city of Broomfield gives us our certificate of occupancy and we can do church.
Now, do you have a group up there already, or some of the guys from down south going to head up with you, or how do you do that?
So we, going back to the story of how the first church started knowing two people, we didn't want to take 200-300 people, carve them out of the Englewood campus and then go up there. Not that that's not a right way to do it. We just felt the Lord leading and saying, just, you don't need to take a ton of people. And so there are people that were up there, about 30 people in the Broomfield, Boulder area. And so we've built from that, and we're building a launch team, and we're up to about, you know, high 60s, about 70. We're shooting for 75 adults. And so a lot of the people, over half now, are coming from that area up there, and a lot of people are excited about it. There's some great churches up there, but there's never enough churches in the city. And so most of the people are coming from there, seeing our signs, Jeff on the radio, different things like that.
This is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell, your host. Bob Belts, my co-host, is a senior pastor at Highline Community Church. Our guest today, Dale Hansen, is one of the pastors at Harvest Bible Church and also a local businessman. Bob, why is church and gathering together weekly on a consistent basis such an important part of our faith?
You know, that's a good question, because I think in America, because we're so individualistic in our mindset, that so much, I know kind of my own experience coming out of a non-Christian background, the focus was so much on a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, which it is, but it was so, again, even though, you know, we were in fellowship and community, the idea that the church itself was such an integral part of why Christ died. He died not just to save us, but to create, you know, this community. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, that's what he said, you know, I will build my church. And so anyway, it's just, you know, I think that there's all kinds of great reasons why. I mean, first of all, just at a sort of a need level, we all need community. We all need people that know us. But, you know, when you come into a relationship with Christ, part of what you want to do is learn what does it mean to love one another. And I think that, you know, so the church is kind of like a love factory, trying to help people learn what does that mean. So it's a critical part. And, you know, we weren't designed really to be lone rangers in our faith. It's really, really what it's all about.
So let's do some, what do they call it? Single word association. You guys describe when I say a word, what it should look like at a church. You ready? You're going to go first, and then he's going to go. Music.
Unashamed. It should be people that can worship the Lord Jesus through any way that they want, whether it's raising your hand, whether it's not. But it's not about listening to a performance of somebody that's really well gifted and talented, but it's your ability to praise your Savior for what he's done. But it's a vertical type approach, not horizontal, back and forth to different people, but it's worshiping the Lord.
Bob, music. Don't say Biff Gore.
No, I was just thinking about, you know, one of my... Anyway.
Even though that's a pretty good answer.
Yeah. Why should the devil have all the good music? That's our philosophy. No. You know, I think that when you think about... there was a battle years ago. I think it's not going on now between contemporary and traditional, all this. But the thing a lot of people forget is that most of what was traditional is traditional now. It was contemporary when they first started doing it. So I think that trying to do music, obviously with the objective of heartfelt worship of God, expressing to him our love for him, but in culturally relevant ways. And so, you know, I think, you know, for us, we, you know, we're sort of a mixed bag, but the idea is that the kind of music that that connects with us outside of church, you know, that to try and create a worship environment where it connects with people in church. So anyway, we're non-traditional. Nothing wrong with traditional. We just aren't traditional. I know that Harvest Bible Chapel, by the way, is actually a little further down the line than we are. So in terms of being more contemporary, you guys like to rock it out pretty good, and we do a little bit of a mix. So
Harvest Bible Chapel. Sorry, I know that. How about children's ministry?
It's not babysitting. A lot of churches, I think, will do that, and I understand that. And again, it's not right or wrong. It's designed for you know, the parents to have a time of worship. But what we end up doing, we're very intentional with it, where if you spend a certain amount of time, I should probably know this, but I think it's 3 or 4 years in our program, every one of those kids will have gone through the whole Bible, learning the stories and that type of stuff. Very intentional about teaching them about God's word, and then seeing it modeled by their parents in church.
Bob, children's ministry.
Well, I think the statistic is that 85% of people that come to faith in Christ come to him before the age of 16. It's something like that. So, you know, kids, Jesus said, you know, you must become like a little child, you know. And so it's just an opportunity. You know, it's funny because, you know, again, you know, children's ministries is a, you know, it's a priority in our church. I think it's funny because both of our churches hired the same lady who is like the design expert to create yep. absolutely cool spaces for kids to come to. And both of our churches hired her to create that kind of an environment, you know, for our kids. But, you know, Sunday school is actually a relatively new invention. It didn't even exist, I don't think, you know, prior to the, you know, mid 19th century, but it does give a great opportunity. We should never, you know, we should never, take the place of parents building into the lives of their own kids. But it is a way for, again, kids to have an experience that connects with who they are and where they are in their developmental stage and learn about the love of God.
Importance of the senior pastor.
It's huge. I think a senior pastor is the leader, and speed of the leader, speed of the team. And I think you've seen a lot of senior pastors that end up, you hear the stories about their fall from grace, things like that. But what you don't hear about is the senior pastor that's really living an authentic life and seeking the Lord. And that is how so many of the people in the church end up growing. They see it modeled. They see it modeled well. And so I think the senior pastor is very important. He's not the only one. We're fond of saying that he's the first among equals. But senior pastor has a very important role.
Bob?
That was the original phrase of who the Pope became the first among equals. Hey, you know, I'm not a type A personality, and a lot of senior pastors are real chargers. I think Jeff's kind of a type A charger kind of a guy. I do think the senior pastor is critical, but, you know, I'm much more comfortable. It's funny because I'm in a place now where I'm surrounded by several other staff guys that I'm so confident in that I almost feel like they don't even need my leadership because it's more of a kind of a team leadership kind of a dimension. But somebody's got to, you know, be the final say. And I'm not even comfortable doing it, but that's my job.
Okay, so let's go now to Harvest Bible Chapel Broomfield. How can people get in touch with it, where you are, and when do we start?
Well, we are starting Easter morning at 10 a.m. And so that is we're shooting for that. The Lord will have to show up in some ways, but we've already seen him do it. So Easter morning, and then every Sunday thereafter from 10 a.m. It's 3400 Industrial Lane in Broomfield. You can find us at harvestdenver.org, and that'll lead you to the campus website and the directions on how to get there. But yeah, we're pretty excited. So Easter morning, 10 a.m., Broomfield.
Harvestdenver.org. Mm-hmm. What about Highline Community Church?
Well, it's Palm Sunday, which is a great Sunday, and you know, we're just at the when these guys bought the church out from underneath us and we were completely homeless, you know, our building we found this great building. We're in the old Channel 2 building, which is just south of Orchard and I-25, kind of just south of Shepler's for people in the south area that are familiar with that. And we start at 10:30, and so you're welcome to come.
So I just know both your churches well enough to know that when you come in, you feel comfortable, which mm-hmm. is what you all are shooting for. You don't feel intimidated. No. Like, I had a great ball player when I was doing chapel for the Nuggets for almost 20 years named Todd Lichty from Stanford. And I asked him after one season when he didn't come to chapel, why didn't you come to chapel? Because we'd become good friends. And he said, I was always afraid you were going to ask me a question. So there's no questions. You just come and you feel welcome. You walk in the doors of Harvest Bible Chapel, right, Dale?
Yep. I think both churches are like this. It's a life-giving church. It's not a church where you go to just because you have to. If you don't have an experience with the Holy Spirit, it's kind of pointless to go.
Yeah. And, you know, both of the churches, by the way, are teaching churches, which, mm-hmm. you know, as a matter of fact, someone said to me we should put a sign out front, we don't preach, we teach. There is a difference, and you know, the focus is really on Scripture and helping people understand and apply it in their own life. So the Bible is real central, I think, to both of our churches.
So both of these guys, my co-host Bob Belts and Dale Hansen, our guest today, would tell you that you are not a project to them. You're just a person, a friend, somebody they're here to serve. So it's not like they want a notch on their belt for you coming to Christ. Salvation's part of it. It's the first part of it. So if you don't understand a relationship with Christ, come to one of these churches and maybe find out. If you do understand, the second part of walking with Christ is called obedience. And part of obedience is you should attend church regularly. It's just one of the deals. So it's going to encourage you and help you to learn more about what you believe in. So we ask you to do that. And Dale, give the information out again on Harvest Bible Chapel so people can come up and join you guys.
Easter morning, March 27th, 10 a.m., 3400 Industrial Lane, but harvestdenver.org. Go to our website there and you'll find out all the information you need.
We got another good church blossoming here, don't we, Bob?
Absolutely. And we, you know, we're all in this deal together. A lot of times it probably doesn't look like that from the outside when you see all these different churches, but it really is. There actually is one church in Denver, and we're just all part of it.
Amen. And thank you for listening today to You Get the Blessing. We'll see you again here next week. This is Bo Mitchell, your host, Bob Belcher, your co-host, signing off. We love you guys, even though we don't know you, and we ask you to let us know how we can help you in any way. Blessings.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. I need to laugh. And when the sun is out.